there's encouragement. If I was to exhort you tonight to do something, I would be encouraging you to do it. I would be saying, no, in spite of the difficulties, and it might mean you'd have to get up an hour earlier in the morning and get your Bible and read it before you go out to work, that you might have strength in your mind and heart, that you might have the spirit of prayer, that you might have strength to refute the devil through the day. This, I would exhort you to do that. And so Paul and Barnabas had a ministry of encouragement.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. We're on the air again to bring you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that that first opening clip there will stir your heart to join with us for our main message today. We begin here with our Bible reading in Matthew chapter 11. 11 verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The faith life of John the Baptist was sorely tried while wasting in the prison cell. John was a brave man who warned Herod of his sin, of living in adultery, and was now paying the price for it in jail. John sent followers to observe the Lord Jesus and to inquire whether he was the true Messiah. Words were not needed. The miracles of the Lord Jesus spoke for themselves. The Lord's reply to the messengers of John were, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now who can argue against that? And the Lord did not doubt John's spiritual state. He said, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That is all we need. The Lord's witness of his saints is enough. And more wonderful, the Lord went on to explain that to be a Christian made ready for heaven, we don't have to work the works of John. We who are the least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than he. That is what the gospel does for us who believe in the Lord Jesus. Faith in the blood and righteousness of Christ makes us to be giants for heaven. Not our own goodness, works, or our performance, but the power of the gospel at work in us and for us. The blood to cleanse us, and the righteousness of Christ to clothe us. That is enough. O blessed soul that can say, "It is enough that Jesus died. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me." The final word of the Lord regarding John the Baptist is that he is, in the New Testament, Elijah. He is the Elijah promised in the Old Testament, as in the book of Malachi. The Jews would find this difficult. So the Lord said, "And if ye will receive it, this is Elias," which was for to come. Jews to this day are waiting for Elijah to come. But they must realize that he already is come, in the person of John the Baptist, and the Messiah is also come, in the person of our Lord Jesus. Thus, do not spend your time waiting, for the Old Testament scriptures are already fulfilled. The Lord has come and finished his work to save his people. Enter in, enjoy, believe and be saved. This is the hope of sinners who will come to Jesus. And when you come, 1,000 welcomes await you as you put your trust in the Son of God. Let's unite in prayer for this. Father, we thank thee that thou art the God of the prodigal. Thou dost receive thy children home. We thank thee that thou hast revealed thyself in the Bible as the one who welcomes sinners. And we do rejoice that thou art calling men today to personal faith, repentance, and to live in the power of the gospel. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to bring men and women to know the Lord Jesus. We pray that thou wilt bring those who are at a distance, those that are standing without, looking on, but have never entered in by faith. Oh, grant that today they may come pleading, praying, asking, receiving the promises of the gospel. Lord, I pray that thou wilt be glorified in gathering people to yourself. Bless your church, bless your people. Grant that the name of the Lord Jesus will be exalted, that every work of Satan will be cast down, every lie and error of hell will be destroyed, and, as you said in your word, he that is least is greatest in the kingdom of God. O Lord, we thank thee that the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus makes us giants for heaven. Now let thy blessing be upon us as thy word is expounded, and may glory be to thy name, we ask through the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. And thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gallagher. We're on the air each day, and I trust the Lord will bless His Word and encourage you through these messages. If we can be of personal help, if I can send you literature, tapes, CDs, magazines, Bibles, please give us a call, email, get onto our web here. All the information for these are at the end of the program. The message today from our pulpit is Part 3 of Paul at Iconium, the man who had a pattern to his evangelism, and God breathed upon his preaching, souls were saved, hearts were changed, lives were moved. And I pray today that God will be gracious to use his word and change your heart and give you that faith in our Lord Jesus. Thank you for being a part of the program today.
And as a new Christian, you can expect to face this sudden and pendulum-like opposition of the world to your service for God. You might be the only Christian at a university class that stands up for the Bible. And at first, you will get encouragement. There'll be those who will say, I like your boldness, I like your arguments. But when the chitter-chatter gets around, you'll find that people will take sides, and it will not be so easy after all, and the scorn and the bitterness may set in. And then you'll have to face what Paul faced. Now, how do you handle this? It's Peter that said, do not think it strange. I'd like to take you to that passage, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And of course, that's always a greater discouragement whenever you think, well, I'm the only one that's ever going through this. You're not. Don't ever believe that. Whatever it is, don't you think that you're the only one or the first one that has ever gone through it. You're not. That's wrong. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, now that's getting to the real issue. If it is because you're a professing Christian, you're holding to the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. This is something you may expect. And when it happens, you're not to get discouraged, you're to rejoice that you are a partaker with Christ's sufferings, that it's because of him and his name, and you have his blessing, his favor. And indeed, you have his grace right in the midst of it. Now, the last thing that I see here in Acts 14 that you can expect as a Christian, when you become a Christian, is that you can expect the comfort and the ministry of God's people in the church. And I refer now to Paul and Barnabas going back over those cities to those groups of Christians. And it tells us in the verse 22, and I want you to notice the words in this verse, Acts 14, 22, that they went back to them, a tremendous risk, I might say. These are the cities that they were driven out of. They had been stoned. They had been, in Antioch? They had been expelled. But in spite of that, and the dangers and the risks, Paul and Barnabas went back to them. It shows you the heart of these men, the burden that they had for these new believers. And it tells you in verse 22 that when they went there, confirming the souls. Now the word confirming simply means to establish, to make more firm. Their ministry to them was to put strength into them. And it says that, and exhorting them, there's encouragement. If I was to exhort you tonight to do something, I would be encouraging you to do it. I would be saying, no, in spite of the difficulties, and it might mean you'd have to get up an hour earlier in the morning and get your Bible and read it before you go out to work, that you might have strength in your mind and heart, that you might have the spirit of prayer, that you might have strength to refute the devil through the day. This, I would exhort you to do that. And so Paul and Barnabas had a ministry of encouragement. And surely that's the very thing that these Christians needed. That's the very thing that these believers would crave and long for. And then they were told to continue in the faith, to abide, to hold fast. That's the very thing that these young believers needed to hear. And that's what a Christian should expect in the ministry of the gospel church. And when a Christian comes to the prayer meeting of the church, or the Sunday school hour, or the services of the church, they should find a ministry that will be a stirring of their heart and a strengthening of their soul, that it's a refuge, a place of great encouragement. Now, we can be absolutely sure that at this very early stage of the Christian church in Paul's day, there were no church buildings. There was no great organization, although I do see in verse 23 that they ordained elders. They did all they could to try and make sure there were men of some caregivers over these groups. But most likely they met in homes or upper rooms as these Jewish people perhaps had, where they met for their various feasts, and they used those rooms as their fellowship times. Can you imagine a new Christian going into those groups for the very first time? I want you to picture this in your mind now. You're living in one of these Asia Minor cities, Antioch, Lystra, Iconium, and you are a new Christian, and you've had to tell your family, and you've been ridiculed and battered and threatened, and you've had all manner of things to deal with because you now are a Christian. And you've told someone, I'm not going back to the synagogue. I'm not going back into that religion. I'm going to stand for my Lord Jesus. And then you go in all your needs and cares into this room of however many people, there might be 20, there might be 40, and you just walk in that door and you see all these people, some of them you may know, some of them you're not just so familiar with, but some that you know quite well, and they're Christians too. And they love the Lord Jesus too. Can you imagine what it's like to have your name mentioned in prayer for the very first time in such a New Testament church? Then instead of it being a swear word by the ungodly in the streets, your name is held up to the Lord and remembered as a disciple of Christ. And maybe when it's all over, someone will sit beside you and talk for 10 minutes at least. And I'm sure these people talked for much longer. The fellowship would have gone on. They wouldn't want to leave. And they would encourage one another. And maybe all that's in your heart and you're raw from all the hard things you've had to deal with. And someone says, you know what? I know exactly what you're going through. And you know what? We'll be back here tomorrow night. And we can come and pray again. Or maybe it's going to be Sunday. And so is going to be. He's not much of a preacher, but he loves the word. And he's going to be explaining a little bit of what we as New Testament Christians are ought to be doing for the Lord. You come and join in. That was New Testament Christianity in its raw front line fight for survival. Sad thing is that in this Western civilization, with our comfortable buildings and all the things that are now set up in the machinery of church life, we've lost the heart, the fellowship of it all. The word fellowship is the lost component, I believe, in modern day Christianity. Mega churches, codes of practice. The other factor, the big problem of modern day Christianity, is lack of time. You only get out of Christian fellowship what you put into it. And the real problem is that most people here tonight are too busy to enjoy real Christian fellowship. Now, I could become negative and start talking about we can hardly get our Sunday school started at 9:30. We can hardly get our prayer meeting started at 7:30. People will complain if our meeting goes over for a certain few minutes. There was none of that in the New Testament church. The New Testament church, those little room meetings, is the closest thing to heaven on earth for a Christian. In the shelter, in the protection, the encouragement of fellow believers who loved the Lord Jesus. That was fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. I was going to do tonight what I did last week with the word we studied to do with ordain. But it's 7:15, and unfortunately we're not in Antioch or Iconium or Lystra, and we do have to watch the clock. Fellowship, koinonia. The synonyms, the other translation way it's translated in our Bible is the word communion. It is translated fellowship. Sometimes it's related to breaking of bread. Sometimes it's our relation to fellow Christians. Sometimes it's our relation to Christ himself. Let me tell you this. We are not New Testament Christians if we do not crave fellowship. Fellowship. Just being with brothers and sisters in Christ. If the television means more, if putting your feet up at home means more, and being with fellow believers, you don't have what these New Testament Christians had. A spirit of wanting to abide and to abound in the truth. And when they heard these words, that ye must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, it didn't feel like a scare tactic. They said, now I understand. Now I realize it's not just me. This is something that we have to expect in the Christian life, whether we're living in these local cities or Rome or Jerusalem. Or Cloverdale. And brother or sister, you cannot escape the cost of being a disciple of Christ. Can't escape it. But you can expect the consolation, the encouragement, the blessedness of Christian fellowship in the church of the Lord Jesus that is in love with the Savior. And I beg of you to give your time, give your energy, give your whole self to the life. Not just in a self-pity party, come along and see how many people will gather around me and clap me on the back, but you come and be an encourager too. Seek out that one that needs your help, needs your encouragement, and bring others along that need that encouragement.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.